Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, can America survive the Biden administration? We're watching, as it would seem, the nation coming apart, being literally ripped apart at the seams. We've had over 2.25 million illegals brought across the borders, dispersed into our nation's midlands, without mask, without a COVID shot, without the notification of the city council or mayors or the governors of the states. We're watching the ungluing, if you please, the warp and the woof, that's the very fabric of our nation, being carried out as a result of using COVID as the screen, we'd call it a smoke screen, to carry out the totalitarian, tyrant, tyrannical control and forcing Americans to submit. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about just before the top of the hour news break about the Winter Olympics, talking about China and Russia, Iran, North Korea, what's going to take place in relationship to God's word in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia leads a 5-nation coalition to come against Israel, and it then disperses to a global battle. Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, will lead Iran, Turkey, Germany, Libya, and Syria. These 5 nations today are controlled basically by Islamics. It'll be an Islamic coalition led by Russia. And by the way, for those that have not done the research, the Russian military is about 51% or better made up of Islamic jihadists. So we're watching God's stage being set. We're watching the coming collapse of the financial markets. Revelation chapter 18 points that out. But ladies and gentlemen, we understand what is taking place. And the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. How should we then live? Ezekiel asked that in Ezekiel 33:10. How should we then live? If we know this is taking place, what should we do? Should we sit back in silence? Should we sit back in submission? Should we sit back and shut up and do not speak up, or would stand up like the truckers across America, and that's happening nationally and internationally? I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. The scripture tells us in 1 John 1, 3 through chapter 2, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. He says, my little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation or payment for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says that he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. We have a problem of spiritual deadness in the world and in America. How can we pretend to be interested in or take an effect in what's going on around us if the spiritual side is dead? We don't recognize who God is, who Jesus is, who the light is, that is Jesus, the light of the world, and he is the truth. So we have people who will stand up and pretend to be religious as a politician or elected leader or whatever, and then once they're in that position of power, they just do whatever they want to. They don't have the word of God in their heart and in their mind because they're not a Christian. They're not someone who has an open relationship with God the Father, our Creator. So it's no wonder that that things go into a tailspin. The folks that get into an office do what they want, and then the people feel like they can do nothing. And even if the person listening or watching what's going wrong in the world, if they don't have a relationship with God, if they haven't asked God or Jesus to be their Savior, Jesus being God's Son, and he sacrificed himself for all the sins of all the world, okay, and we're all sinners. If we don't have a spiritual relationship with God, how could we even imagine making a change or making a difference? Because we would not be aware of spiritual things. I believe that the Bible is absolute truth. I believe God gave us his word so that we can take action. But if the people of the world don't look to God, we won't see any help. We won't see any change. God is ultimately in control. The wars and rumors of wars, the what you call the saber rattling of one nation against the other nation, they are lining up to do what they want to do. China has been in existence for, what, 5,000 years? They have a history that goes way back. America is only a couple hundred years old. They're sitting back and waiting. They're waiting. This little bitty nation of America, I mean, we're very prideful of the fact that we live in America, and I'm a patriotic American. But America is sliding off the cliff, and China is just greedily watching and waiting because they know they've been buying politicians, they've been buying our real estate in America. People just seem to be oblivious. If it doesn't affect their paycheck, if it doesn't affect their livelihood or their food supply or whatever, then they just don't see it. Now, in the last 2 years, we've seen folks kind of start to wake up because it has affected their job or them personally or their health. And so some of them are looking around, and they'll come to another Christian. They'll come to a Christian and say, is this it? Is this the end? What they want to know is, do I have to put one foot in the lifeboat now, or can I stay in the world? Are the sharks going to get me? Should I get in the lifeboat? Am I going to drown?
Yeah, exactly.
They want to ride the fence. They want to get in the boat. Get in
the
boat. And the end is coming. The Bible says it's coming.
Your own target. So, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is
looking to God.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Glenn. He's one of our sons, one of our four sons. Glenn is a retired law enforcement officer. And if you listen to Glenn for a minute, you think you're listening to Pop, as he calls me. And I'm thankful that he's taking the time to be with us. Glenn, hang in there. Don't hang up right now. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I think Glenn had it right there. That's the only way we're going to survive the Biden administration is a complete revival and an awakening.
Yes.
And the citizens of the United States seeking the word of God and his son, Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble, regardless of who sits in that Oval Office.
You're exactly right, Jim. In fact, let me tuck in a question for you, Jim, and then Glenn can respond to it also. You talk even if regardless of who sits in that office. Do you look forward to, do you believe that we'll have a legitimate election in November with a change of guard with the House and the Senate? Do you believe that'll make a difference, or do you believe we'll continue? And I'm saying that because you recall in 2016 when Trump was elected, 2017 and 18, the Republicans, so-called conservatives, had the House, the Senate and the Oval Office, and we did zip zero, not a nothing. In fact, the majority of the Republicans literally pulled against President Trump. Do you believe we're going to see something like that take place in November? And if we have Republicans going in office and controlling the House and the Senate, will that make a difference? Because most legislation has to be signed off by the president. Most things, if they pass, will be vetoed by if Biden is still in office. I don't think he will be, but whoever takes his seat will still be a Democrat. Will that make a difference? Or do you think that do we need to look at the political answer or the spiritual resolution for what we see in America?
I believe that we need to look at the spiritual, because if a majority got down on their knees right now and cried out to God and his son, Jesus, then it would cure itself immediately, this coming election. If I look at it the secular there, this is going to be kind of a smart aleck remark there. Depends on how many trunks and how many boxes of ballots they find the day after.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely.
I don't believe that the current Democratic Party wants fair elections. I believe that they've had their little taste here, and they want more of it. And they're not going to give it up without any, you know, without fighting for it. And that includes malfeasance and cheating and any other thing they can get away with.
Jim, you're exactly right. So I believe that, as I've said before, we need to keep looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you, Jim, for your call.
Thank you, Glenn.
What do you say for in relationship to how do you respond to Jim's statements? Then we're going to talk with Tom.
I agree with him, and I also believe in a two-pronged approach. It has to start with a spiritual revival in the hearts and minds of the people. And then, as you used to say, the little old lady says, sometimes you got to put feet to your prayers.
That's right.
You got to take action. I believe that Christians should be running for public office wherever they can find it. I
don't Absolutely. Care if
it's a dog catcher.
Yes.
Or if it's the sheriff's race, or if it's the representative or Congress race, or the mayor's race, or city council race. Christians have to take a stand and put themselves in the arena if they're going to have an effect personally. But they have to start off with the reconciliation or the reconciling themselves with God, that we have to come to him and do it on his terms for our spiritual life to be in line with our world life, I guess you would say. If they don't get they can't get the cart before the horse. If there's not a Christian, they're going to have a very, very difficult time doing the right thing, because the temptation is so great. We have a lot of people that have run for office, and they came out and they said good things, and they probably were good people. And then once they get into that office, the ones that have already been there, the embedded ones, the bureaucracy, they pull them aside and say, okay, we know this is what you represent, and if you go this way with us, we'll go that way with you. And then they start compromising until they have actually started receiving money from outside organizations, whether it's the medical community, the pharmaceutical community, or whatever, and you see them stop going forward and start sliding backwards.
Absolutely.
Christians have to get an individual has to get their spiritual life right before they can go out and get the physical life right. So it has to be both. If you were a farmer and you wanted to grow corn, you'd have to go out and till the field. Okay, you'd have to make sure you had adequate water supply and/or fertilizer or whatever to keep the bugs off. Okay, and then eventually those crops start coming up, and then the weeds try to choke it out, or the animals try to get it. You got to put a barbed wire fence around to keep the deer from eating up all your corn. I tried it one year when I was on a 10-acre farm, and I spent about $500 or $600 trying to get a bushel of corn, because everything was after it. If you couldn't keep enough water on it, if you couldn't keep enough fertilizer or bug spray on it, if you couldn't keep the deer out of your garden, it just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing all the same effect in America and around the world. Good intentions, and all of a sudden it's just dwarfed. The result, or what you call the harvest, is so dwarfed because all of these things are coming after it. It takes a lot of physical effort to keep it going, to keep in
Absolutely.
The right direction,
Absolutely.
Because it naturally goes downhill.
Absolutely. Glenn, hold your thought for just a second. Tom, I believe we have you on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. The caller's on the line. I sure hope he calls back. He's got some great insight, and I really like your broadcast, Dr. Youngblood, that you are drawing the best of the best. I hope he help support it financially. You've become the Fox News, when it really was owned by Rupert Murdoch, of the radio waves. So I hope he helps us keep it on the air. Doc Youngblood, to answer your question, no, I don't think America will stand Joe Biden. He has no morals and no integrity, and he's ripping the heart out of this nation. And his buddies in the Democratic Party are helping him, and it just seems like it's got to be the end. It's really God's hand of judgment falling on America. You can't be marrying men and women with each other, and you can't be ripping babies out of women's wombs and still call yourself a viable nation.
That's right.
It's sad, Dr. Youngblood, but it's not us, it's God. That stench has reached his nostrils, and he's going to do something about it.
That's a good way to term it, and I believe you're exactly right, Tom. And I believe that we as Christians, the minuscule number, we're still charged with the responsibility according to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and following. We're to be, as Christians, as the church, we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. And unless we are salting and the savor is there, unless we are out from under the bed and out of the closet so our light can shine, that is, we need to be in society, though we're not of society. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. We need to be salt and light to effectuate any change. So you're exactly right with that. But unless we do that, unless we turn back to God, as Glenn was saying just a moment ago, unless we turn back to God, unless there's a revival in America, I don't see any survival for America. In fact, when you study the eschatological prophetic text, America's not mentioned in the final days of the this whole world as it is wrapping up. And we're on the fast track for the absolute demise of society as we know it today. Tom, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a quick question. As you know, I was terminated at a company because I walked into a gas place, and they sell food and all, and the person behind the counter was a female but dressed totally like a male. Does that mean because she's pretending to be a man that I got to pretend with her? Is that what it's become now?
And that's exactly, and you've couched it in a good fashion. That's where it stands, because in a academic setting, in the colleges and universities, grade school and high school, unless you go along with the act, then you're summarily suspended or fired, because the push now with the sodomite community, the push by the LGBTQI, whatever you want to add to it, the push is to force the churches to embrace, to force Christians to embrace, and not just to embrace, but to celebrate their lifestyle. That's the end game. That's the end goal. And they started that in a book that's called the Homosexual Network, published in 1978, and their end goal, according to their game plan in 1978, was to break the wall down to force the churches to embrace, to celebrate, and to agree with them. And so, yes, that's exactly where it's headed. And you take that kind of lifestyle, take that kind of push. In fact, Joe Biden now is pushing insurance companies, trying to force by fiat rule, forcing insurance companies to pay for the transsexual surgeries for those that are having a sexual dysphoria. And as a result of that, there's a major, major, major push that will simply inundate all of America in the morals, the ethics, and the values of the left rather than the biblical worldview. But Tom, you're exactly right. So, brother, keep on looking up, keep on praying. God's still on the throne. God's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's not sick. He's never even had COVID. So keep on praying, brother. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you.
God bless you. Glenn, how do you respond to Tom's analysis and his thoughts?
Well, we've seen the constant erosion of the foundation of America. They've taken shots at the foundation. Even Obama, when he was running for office, he said that he was going to fundamentally change the United States of America. Okay, and that's been their intention. Even with your LGBTQ, they say, well, we just want all inclusion. You know, we don't want these people to be, you know, pushed to the side. We want them to be recognized. No, they don't just want you to recognize. They put it in your face. One of the students at a high school in Callahan asked a substitute teacher, why? Because they were advertising on the board that they had an LGBTQ group. And one of the students asked the substitute teacher, if that's supposed to be an all-inclusive group, why can't normal heterosexual students be a part of that group? And the substitute teacher says, well, you're going to have to ask your parents that question. And then the parents started calling the school, West Nassau High School, and the school administrators got mad at the substitute teacher for bringing attention to something that had been openly advertised by the regular teacher. They are trying to recruit, they are recruiting and grooming our children for their way of life. They have libraries around the country, and it happened in Jacksonville too, where they would invite a transvestite, a drag queen, they would call them, to read to the students, and dressed up, a man dressed up as a woman, trying to normalize it to the children. And you know why? Because a couple of homosexuals can't have a child, a couple of lesbians can't have a child, but now they're allowed to adopt a child and then corrupt a child in the way that they're living, okay? So they're reaching out to our children to groom and create more of their people. And yeah. If you say something against them, quoting from the Bible even, they're coming for you. The churches, absolutely. The pastors have been scared, I think, into submission where they won't even read. Is it Romans chapter 1 that designates and says that it's a sin and it's an abomination before God? If you read the truth, they are offended by the truth. They don't want to hear the truth.
Glenn, as you know, most pastors don't have a theological spine, as I say it very openly and directly. They're afraid of numbers, nickels, and noses. They preach the whole counsel of God, the truth of the Word of God. They are afraid they might lose some numbers, nickels, and noses. Some of those socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats that may be sitting in the congregation that's playing the game of religion. It's an impossibility. Let me say this, and you've heard me say it before, but it's an impossibility, ladies and gentlemen, to say I am a Democrat and I believe in the Democratic plank, the Democratic format, the Democratic rules and regulations. It's an impossibility to say I am a Democrat and say I'm a Christian, that I've been blood-bought, born again, Bible saved. It's an impossibility. They're simply antithetical to the truth. It's an oxymoron to say I'm a Democrat and a Christian. Democrats believe in murder by way of abortion. Democrats believe that you need to destroy the southern border and take down the sovereignty of America. Democrats believe that somehow, some way, everybody needs to be forced to wear a mask, forced take the jab, et cetera, et cetera. That's simply not biblical. Glenn, to undergird what you've just said, I'm looking at an article that says, Southern Baptist leader warns of looming ban on beliefs conflicting with the LGBTQ agenda. The article is dated February the 5th. While the LGBTQ movement agenda to stamp out Christian counselors who advise those with unwanted sexual attractions how not to live out their urges in most developed overseas. There's now a case in Indiana that takes direct aim at biblical beliefs. The case was outlined by Dr. Albert Moeller, the head of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, in an online column. Quote, he addressed the dispute that comes out of the West Lafayette, Indiana, under the stunning headline, quote, will your church's preaching and counseling be ultimately criminalized? And it goes on to talk about, yet the recent development in the state of Indiana has placed religious freedom on shaky grounds. Steve West of World Magazine reported the Faith Church in West Lafayette, Indiana, has for 45 years operated a free biblical counseling ministry for members of the community. Now, however, Pastor West wrote that outreach is now threatened by the city council proposal that would penalize anyone who talked with minors to help them overcome unwanted sexual attraction or gender dysphoria. And it goes on to talk about that being passed would basically criminalize any pastor that would stand in the pulpit and preach and teach against the sodomite lifestyle. And now, can we see? We shouldn't have any wonderment as to why God would be judging a nation that's taken that position. As one of the callers said just a moment ago, ripping the babies from the womb, or as you said, murder by way of abortion, and then the sodomite movement where you're going to force everybody to participate, and then the attitude that somehow, some way, we shouldn't be concerned about the morals and the ethics and the values. Just let the politicians have their way. Or as Jerry Nadler said, as a U.S. House of Representative said, as one of the representatives on the floor of the House reading from the scripture about how these things are immoral and ungodly, and Jerry Nadler, one of the representatives on the Democratic side, basically with a loud tone in his voice and a chastising tone, said God's word has no place in the House of Congress. So that explains where we are, Glenn, I believe, very succinctly. But boiling all of that down, we see the morals, the ethics, the values in a decline. We see the political machine headed toward a totalitarian catastrophic control in a nation and the nations around the world. We see Jesus saying that a nation divided cannot stand. We understand that there's coming a total financial collapse in Revelation chapter 18. And it talks about that, the Babylonian collapse and the financial collapse. Summarizing all of that, Glenn, and looking at it from a, how would you say, a spiritual, biblical worldview, what advice do you give to the listeners that would be asking the question? I've had people ask almost every day, what should we do? How should we respond? How should we prepare? What ought we to do? So what advice, what biblical advice would you give to our listeners today that are troubled with what they're hearing and wonder how they take this and assimilate this information and activate themselves with it?
Well, you're exactly right. It can be overwhelming. There's so much going on today. Years ago, if you had one calamity event, it would be on the television for weeks. All right, we're experiencing probably 100 events a day. And the political machine doesn't want you to draw your attention to what they're doing behind the curtain. What was that, the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
The Great Wizard was pulling strings and pushing buttons, basically keep everybody in fear, keep everybody in fear, and they'll do what you want, like a bunch of sheep. I think first we have to put our eyes on God. We have to look to the Scripture. He's given us His Word, and He's told us to trust in Him. It's important to be aware of all the world events and how it affects things. It's very important to be, as it says in the Scripture, wise as serpent and gentle as doves. We have to be studying what's going on in the world, but we have to have a focus on where we're going according to the Scripture and according to what God's given us in His Word. So we cannot live in fear, because living in fear is paralysis. In the police academy, they said there were several different responses to something that happened suddenly. There's a flight. Fight or flight, but there's also a freeze. And we have a lot of Christians now that said, I don't know what's going to happen next, and they don't do anything. They just sit there. Okay? Well, if you were the deer in the middle of the road and they freeze, they get hit. Okay? The ones that run out of the road are the ones that don't get hit. But there's, you know, and if it was an animal against an animal or a person against a person, it might be a fight. But I'm seeing a lot of Christians that have just gone into frozen mode and they don't want to do anything because they're afraid of what to do because they don't know because they're not reading the Word. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. Riding a motorcycle.
The Bible is our guidebook with what we need to do. Go ahead and wrap up. We've got about 20 seconds, Greg. Lynn.
Okay. Riding a motorcycle for years, I'll tell you this. You're going to go where you're looking. Okay? If you see the pothole or the brick or whatever it is, the obstacle in the middle of the road, and you focus on it, you're going to hit it. You need to be looking at the solution, the end game of Jesus and His salvation, what God's going to do eventually. It's good to know that, but focus on where you need to go, not focusing on the problem. And Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the goal.
Amen. That's the answer.
Back to God in order for the nation to be spared. If we don't, we're gone. That's it.
Absolutely. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.